My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hi.
What's up, Kenny?
Morning.
Morning.
The Royals have lost 7 straight. We're 4.5 games up in the Central.
They are reeling.
Thoughts, opinions.
They are reeling. I do have a theory on baseball.
All right, give me the theory.
That it is, of the three major sports, it is the sport where the World Series champion just gets decided based on when the season ends. And what I mean by that is, like, the Guardians were... it was a total collapse. What, 2 weeks ago? Week ago?
Yeah.
Week ago.
Lost the division last week.
Right. And if the season just ends, if you came up with an arbitrary time when the season ends in baseball, you'd have a different World Series champion every year. Like, if it was 140 games or 100 games or 80 games. I don't think the NFL is like that. I don't think that the NBA is like that. The NBA, the Boston Celtics would have won the championship last year had the season have been 50 games, 70 games, 90 games, 1,000 games. The only thing you have to solve for is injuries.
Okay.
Like, obviously, the injuries, that would change it. But in baseball, there's nothing to do with that. It almost solely is based on who's playing well. I mean, it's common knowledge, right? It's how we talk about the playoffs every year. Get hot at the right time.
We shouldn't need a postseason, is what you're saying. There shouldn't be a postseason.
No, I mean, have a postseason. It's more fun that way. The postseason does make it more fun.
But you're right.
All I'm saying is, like, so many people were like, man, Lima, if he were in this week, he'd be getting his medicine about the Guardians, how bad they are. And he said that people were losers for being down on the team. And I'm like, well, it just really matters how long the season is. Like, you'd have 8 different World Series champions depending on when the season is in baseball.
I like this theory.
Which is why some people don't even want to talk about baseball because they think it's an exercise in futility. Other people love talking about baseball because they find those little idiosyncrasies to be the most interesting of all the sports.
Now, let me try to poke holes here. That's all I'm doing. I'm with you. Let me try to poke holes. 2016 Cavs. By this premise, did the Cavs deserve to win the championship?
Well, so I do think a case could be made that the Cavs team in 2016, they turned out to be, even though they were down 3-1 in that series, they turned out to be a nightmare matchup for Golden State. Now, I don't know. You're right.
But didn't the Marlins, we weren't the best team that year. Do we have a better record than the Braves going in? I got to go back to them.
In 95?
All right. So,
well, we just ran away with the division.
2017, we won like 167 games. So wouldn't the Yankees be a nightmare matchup for us in 2017? That's a much better example. Talking about nightmare matchups. So that was a bad matchup. Mm-hmm. And we ended up losing that divisional series, and I rued the day. I still rue the day to this day.
Yeah.
Imminent ruage. So wouldn't that be a bad matchup then?
Well, it didn't help.
Like, using the same...
What's his name got injured?
Encarnacion.
Encarnacion got injured in that series.
Yeah, and the injuries part of this, this is where it gets leaky.
Edwin Encarnacion.
This theory, like, because obviously, like, all of a sudden, if your ace starter goes down with an injury, you'd be like, well, I thought if this... You know, but... The injuries part of this, yeah, Mahomes goes down, Kansas City's not going to win the Super Bowl ever.
Okay. So I can use that? Okay. That's a hell of a point.
Like, how many, a genuine question, in baseball, like, even take the last 10 years, if the baseball season went another 20 games and it was 182 games, do you think we'd honestly have the same World Series champions? I do not. I just think that sport is it's why it's so frustrating for some people to try to wrap their brains around, try to understand it, when I don't know if there really is any understanding baseball. I do think just that's why the postseason is supposed to be so exciting.
Because
literally anything can happen.
What makes baseball great in its own way? Like, there's great things about every sport. I'm not trying to turn into Ken Burns over here. But it's like it's our first sport in America. It really is. And there are things about it that we took and we put it into football. We put it into basketball. Hockey's Canada's thing, but I think you could probably roll that into there if you want to. It is a sport that we took from and then we improved. We put a clock on things. All right? You understand? We like everything else has uniform fields. There is no outs. There are like we took those things, and what makes baseball great is that baseball's still the original, and baseball's still different from all. I mean, it's so uniquely different. Playing fields are different. The way the game is played is different. Everything is so unique about it. So I think a baseball fan would have fun with it. Now, if I get off my Dan Okren soapbox and tell you about it, that's why I think that you have these questions about it. Because baseball is the first sport. Well, it's imperfect. It's an imperfect game. But to the people that love it, it becomes perfect. To the Dan Menigans of the world, it is perfectly imperfect.
Well, think about how many Dodgers teams just should have easily been the best team, were the best team, most talented team, best pitching staff, best lineup, whatever. And then they don't win the World Series. Why? Because it's a best of, it's a best of seven. I mean, if we're a best of, they used to do best of nines. Like, we could.
Yeah, used to only put two teams in the playoffs, though.
Right. Yeah, they did, yeah.
Yeah, but if you really wanted to get the best team, right, you'd have longer series. It's the same thing. We've always talk about this in college basketball. College basketball is the absolute worst way ever in the history of ways to crown a champion. Having 64 teams play one and done, that is not the way to find the best team, but it's also awesome.
That's
why we love it.
It's the same format that they're playing in the NBA playoffs, essentially. It's just faster. They're not taking 2 days off in between games or a day off in between games and then getting back to your starters.
You're saying
in baseball.
Baseball to the NBA, yeah.
Okay.
So you're not getting back to your starting pitchers. Essentially, maybe your best player on your team is only effective in – maybe two games in a whole series.
Like,
where in basketball, all seven games, he is there.
But it's also
he's part of the game.
True.
And he's dribbling the basketball for 80% of the game.
But I think that's also, I keep going back to life, which I overuse this analogy, but I do. We all have good days. We have bad days. Yesterday, I had a very bad day. Today, hopefully, will be a much better day. And then I can even out my series in my week.
So, Anthony, you would just rather the best team in the regular season be crowned.
No,
champion.
You know what? I'm not even saying that because I think that
that's
would
what
be
it sounds like.
That would be. I think
and that would suck to me.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying change it. I'm just saying that is what makes baseball different than the other sports. And I think by and large, it's also the reason baseball does not get the discussion that the other sports get, because we all recognize how random baseball is and we accept it, and that's part of the fun.
This goes right along with FML later. Not to give away what I can sell. Don't ask questions if you really don't want the answers. Don't ask a question about people if you really don't want to know the answer. I think that kind of goes with baseball.
But do you think today, compared to a week ago, if you were to poll a cross section of Guardians fans, like last week, if you would have polled 100 people and said, "Do they have a chance to win the World Series?" How many people would have said yes?
Last week, if I would have pulled 100 people and asked them if they would have won a World Series, I'm making sure I know the question. Six.
And today, how many?
13.
Okay. It's a huge increase. Yeah.
Doubled. We've over doubled the amount.
Yeah. And if they have another good week,
18.
It's just what I think could be even more than
another,
that.
Another good week. If they have another good week, then it's like 30.
I mean, Josh Naylor has risen. I mean, this has been
like a phoenix.
This has been outstanding.
Well, we're in magic number time now.
Yeah,
we're at 20 games now, which is essentially 10 games, right?
Yes. Well,
10 wins and 10 Twins losses plus Royals.
MK in Vermont, social media reactions on X, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, even though this is an email. He says the division magic number is down to 19. Playoff magic number down to 14. Magic numbers are in.
Yeah, those are small numbers now. You're getting the numbers that you can actually relate to, understand, and kind of keep it in your mind every day and work on it.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to bust your chops here. You said, I just want an accurate number.
I don't think that 19 or 20 is that much time to spend.
Okay, fair. We can do that during a break.
And I'm just going by Guardians magic number on X.
To be honest with you, I was trying to find a way to work in the sponsor there so we could do that.
Well, I went straight to X, where X reactions are provided by Scheiben
Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelers.
But think about it. So Naylor has
6'11 and 6'12 for those scoring at home.
Naylor has absolutely come alive. This Rocchio's last few games. You're starting to just find some guys,
yes,
figuring some things out enough where this lineup looks like it has some potency again. Imagine if Stephen Kwan can recapture anything. I mean, he's down to 294. This is one of the biggest drop-offs I can remember from a player as good as he is.
Well,
in this amount of time, it's crazy how he has plummeted like this.
This is a Tim Anderson fall off, if you will.
It's really, really bad.
No.
But also part of me is like, what if he figures it out? And if this guy goes on a tear too, now absolutely you can find yourself in the World Series.
Yeah. Guardians are 80-59. And the Royals, I think their last win was against the Guardians. Was it not last week?
Yes. That's when they tied the division up.
That loss that they had when we came back.
They took the lead because they have the tiebreaker.
Was that the seventh or eighth inning we came back in last week? Was that the seventh?
It's the seventh
inning. So that loss that should have, or that win that should have been lost, that was the last. Oh, my gosh. Oh, what a way. That is not good. Well, I had to get on the phone with that guy some more. My God, I didn't realize that when that happened. So there you go. The Guardians are 7-1. Jeff Phelps had something to say yesterday about this team, which was interesting to say the least. We don't get a chance to play much Jeff here, but this is what Jeff said, and it kind of got my bull run. It got Lima's bull running, actually. Lima was in the bathroom. He came out. He had an epiphany.
I was having a tinkle, and I heard this on the speaker.
All right, here we go. Hit it.
Teams of the 90s and the early 2000s had great chances to win. They didn't. Doesn't mean those weren't great teams, and it doesn't mean that it wasn't well done all the way around. This team doesn't begin to compare with them, but they're winning. They're playing really good baseball for most of the season. There have been some stretches that aren't so hot. They just lost 9-12. Well, now they've won 4 or 5, but they keep bouncing back, and it's that resilience that I think is just the most impressive thing about this team. It's one of the most unexpectedly good seasons in any sport I've ever seen. In this city. Just stunning to me.
I think you can hear me yelling in the background down the hallway. Should we be giving the Guardians more credit?
I think yes. And by the way,
spicy.
I'm fully aware that last week during the vacation, I tweeted, well, this is an unbelievable collapse. Yeah. Because it looked like an unbelievable collapse. So I'm not even going to lie and make it seem like I was never in doubt. Like, no, I was in doubt last week. It was really bad. It looked like everything was falling apart at the wrong time, and it looked like you weren't even going to be in first place for another week. They've staved that off here, and it is. I mean, you just said their record. I couldn't believe it again.
80-59.
I know people get mad when I bring up their record, but it's
they will finish over 500.
You kind of earn that over time, right? I kind of think they've gotten a record that's good enough that we probably should be talking about it. It shouldn't solve every issue, like. I don't know, Anthony. Their struggles. The bullpen issues have kind of started. Well, look at their record. No, you can't just say that every time.
They've already won 4 more games than they did last year.
I know.
That wasn't a serious point to make, but I'm staying.
I just think you get to 80-59. Yeah, yeah. This is really damn impressive. And I think what Jeff was hitting on there, like, yeah, you're having your ups and downs. Certainly over the last 2 months, you've had those ups and downs. But by and large, over the course of a season, I mean, there are a lot of years we would die to have a record like this.
Yeah, 80-59. Should they get more credit? I think that comes with expectations. I think that comes with a certain weighted expectation for a fan base. Should they be getting more credit? I think that a lot of fans will wait until the end of the year whether or not the Guardians deserve a lot of credit for this season.
So just based on how they do in the playoffs?
I think so many people have been so hot and cold with this team. I've not seen such Jekyll and Hyde reaction to a baseball team in quite some time. It is, they love them, they hate them. Last night, I mean, Brian Rocchio's at bat last night was the quintessential Guardians the emotional roller coaster for a fan out there where he squares up the bunt. People are so upset. They hate Brian Rocchio. He hits a home run. Everybody loves him.
But what you just said, you just described the reaction, what it should be for a 500 team. Oh, the roller coaster of emotions, the highs, and that's 500 team.
I disagree.
This is 80 and 59.
Yeah, but I think that
this is so much better than the highs and the lows. No, this is highs,
they are,
lows, highs.
Because they are trying lows. To, and I'll explain this again later, because I know we got to go here. They're trying to talk themselves out of thinking the Guardians have a chance to win the World Series because they've gotten their hopes up before.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
7-1, the victory yesterday over the Royals. KC continues their tailspin. They've lost seven straight games while the Guardians just continue to try to get more of a buffer, Kenny, between them and the rest of the Central that lead up to 4.5 games over Minnesota, who lost yesterday, and now 5.5 over the Kansas City Royals.
I've asked the question, when you're not comfortable anymore, when are you comfortable? Before it was discomfort, now it's comfort. When are you comfortable?
Comfort.
I'm not comfortable yet.
Well, they're going to make the playoffs.
They're
going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, is it just the end of the season now, or the end of the regular season? Like, once you know they're in, then you're comfortable?
Well, put it this way. Yesterday, got the text message from our folks in Little Italy asking if we could be a part of the Columbus Day festivities again.
And we or you?
Well, we. They know that you've been there before.
It's okay if it's you.
And
you're the Italian.
I said, I think I'm in. The only question is how long am I staying and whether or not we've got playoff baseball to go.
I overstayed my welcome last year.
Well, last year we didn't have playoff baseball to get to, but there have been years where I had to leave. I couldn't just stay there all day. Yeah. And I had to rush downtown to get to the game.
You did.
So I would say that I'm feeling pretty confident that I'm going to have to cut my activities short again.
That's
this year.
Next month. Boy, time just flies by, doesn't it? I enjoy the Italian people.
Hey, paisanos!
I feel like the senator and godfather, but it's not that way, I promise you. I really actually enjoy them.
We missed the grease poll this past weekend at St. Rocco's.
No!
I know!
Why even do a show if we're going to miss the grease
poll? I missed it. I asked, and
busy coaching youth football, man. What are you going to do?
Would have been fun.
They can't just grease a pole this weekend?
Last week was the week.
Yeah, why do you have to grease a pole just one weekend?
Is that the rule, no grease poles after Labor
Day? I always wonder where they practice.
That's why you don't wear white.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
hate football fans. You want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be covered in grease.
Be covered in grease.
Like, where do they set up their practice, their heats? They've got to figure that out. It can't just... I'd be shocked if that's just on game day. That's the first time we do it. Like, the Browns practice. They might not have practiced as much as you wanted them to, but they still practice.
Well, at least a walkthrough.
Some guy has, like, climb 10 through. Acres in LaGrange.
Yeah.
And then he got in the back of the woods. There's the pole. Ah, they're greasing it down. We got to get ready for next year.
And they have to make sure to obscure it from any of the rival factions.
Were they using regulation grease?
That's the other thing.
There's a whole science to this.
There really is.
Next year, Mitch, remember, we should bring on somebody from St. Rocco's to explain the grease.
Mm-hmm.
He'll remember. It's one of he will remember.
It's one of the great traditions in all of sports. Anywho, the Guardians, another
the
victory.
Thrill of victory.
Now, I did
the
talk
agony of the grease.
I did. I talked about Kwan's struggles recently, but Joe Mers did add he had RBI late in the game last night, so that was nice.
Yes,
but it's down to under 300, which
he's batting 199 since the break.
So he's the one. Like, oh, and I know you were challenging me off the air. Feel free to bring it up.
Oh, and I'll challenge you on the air, Anthony. Should. Don't worry about it.
You should. Why save it for off the air? But
well, you ended the segment last segment saying, why are fans on the roller coaster of a? They're acting like this is a 500 team. They're 21 games over. But, and you've brought it up more than anyone on this show, they are five since the hot start, they are 500 since like June.
Yeah.
They are a 500 team. They've been playing 500 ball forever. They just started, they gave themselves a great head start on the season. But we're here right now. Then this is what they've been. This is why we get the mood swings of a fan base.
I did just check. Now, 2 weeks ago, people will know. Well, a few weeks ago, it was just the last 60 games. But then because they were teetering and losing so many games, then I changed it.
The bar.
I changed it to 65, 70. Now we're at 80. Last 80 games, the Guardians are 41-39. That's still the 13th best record in baseball in that time span. So it shows you what. This to me. So if you're asking me why you're bringing up comfort and Owen, you're bringing up, well, that's a long stretch of games to just basically be 500. Absolutely right. You guys are 100% right. I'm not as confident as I'll get out with this team. I don't know how you could be with that. With all of that said, man, is it wide open this
year. Who's confident? Who's confident?
Right. Who is confident?
There's one team I know of that should be confident, or fan base should be confident right
now. Darryl's confident. I think Darryl's pretty damn confident, and Darryl's a very pessimistic person.
As a base, though, like any, I'm saying any fan base for any team in Major League Baseball, save the Astros, who's confident right now and what's about to happen for them in the next month and a half?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody is.
I didn't ask Yankees fans. I doubt they're confident.
No.
Orioles, the Orioles who have the best record in the AL right now, ask their fans. I doubt they're confident. We'll have a guy on from Baltimore today.
Are you confident, Mitch?
Not particularly. No, I'm confident in the Guardians, though.
Okay, that's interesting.
Doesn't help anything.
Is this an all-time like down year in Major League Baseball where any number of how many teams could win it all, or do you just think that that's what it is every year? That's how the playoffs work.
I wouldn't call it a down year. I'd say it's probably pretty good.
I think it's an up year.
Down year, I'm talking about...
You don't have a runaway.
There's no dominant teams right now.
Fair, but I that's what I know what you meant, but I meant that in the sense of... Like you have a dominant team in the Chiefs, but I still think in reality I think there's like four fan bases that can say we have a chance to win a Super Bowl in earnest and not just hope. In baseball, I think you got about eight fan bases. I think you got double. That's almost a third of the league for crying out loud that thinks right now they can win a World Series.
We've got 23.
And we are one of them.
23 games left. They'd have to go 20-3 to get to 100 wins, which is fine. They don't have to get to 100 wins because nobody's getting to 100.
Right.
Baltimore, New York, Cleveland. Do you want to throw Minnesota in there? I mean, they got a 95% chance to make the postseason.
I guess.
Houston, that's five. Philly, Do I throw Atlanta in there?
I think Atlanta always feels
7,
okay.
8 with Milwaukee, 9 with the Dodgers, 10 with the Padres. I got 10 right there. Diamondbacks, you want to throw them in there? They were in the National League, or excuse me, they were in the World Series last year. So that's 11. It's healthy. It's healthy for a year at least. Good stuff.
So yesterday, you had an interesting set of circumstances where Rocchio vote apparently signaled for him to bunt. And then next thing you know, hits a home run. And they had some fun with it after the game.
I got a pretty hard time in the dugout for that one, you know, for putting the bunt sign on. But it's just, it's refocusing. You know, it's really easy when you don't do your job or you don't get the job done to get down on yourself and just give away an at bat. But he got a pitch up and he crushed it.
I don't like that the players are openly challenging the authority of the manager.
Wow.
We got a yay boo dugout.
Letting the inmates run the asylum, Kenny.
I'm smiling. It's okay. It's always good when you win.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, starting pitching. So we've been talking about hitting. Bibee gave up 2 hits yesterday in 6 innings. He struck out 6. The performances just continue to get better and better and better by the starting pitching.
Yeah.
I know Mitch yesterday wanted us to ask if we thought the starting rotation was starting to come into a position of a strength. Yes.
Especially over the last couple of starts, and I even wrote it down today, are the deadline acquisitions that we made, which were initially seen by many as...
panned by many.
Yeah. Are they starting to kind of come around come October?
Okay, what's your read on that?
It's September, so I would have to say, yeah, aren't they starting to come around?
Wake me up.
When September ends.
The funny thing is, we weren't looking for, and I don't think we expected, any kind of dominance in that regard with the deadline moves, certainly. But you only need a few to start making you feel, hey, maybe this can work out for this team. Between Cobb and Boyd and then Gavin Williams and...
boy, it's just last week. People are cussing them clean out for the, quote, lack of moves. That's roller coaster stuff, man. That's a yo-yo. That can't be done.
And then I watched Alex Cobb be perfect through 6 on Sunday. And
yeah,
the fingernail didn't seem to be a problem anymore. Although he got hit in the hand on a comebacker. But
Bibee talked about how important it is here down the stretch, making those in-game adjustments.
I think it's super important. I think just finding what works, finding what hasn't worked in the past, and just kind of adjusting off of that. And even adjusting off of that mid-game, I mean, everyone always talks about baseball's game of adjustments, and that's pretty much what it is, especially pitch to pitch, at bat to at bat.
So you've got Lively going today as you look for the sweep, and then you are in Los Angeles where you go Boyd, Cobb, and Gavin Williams.
I'm okay with that. Well, I'm okay with that right now.
It feels like you got to be much more okay with it than, like you guys said, a week ago.
Yeah, feeling good. Feeling real good.
That's it for about last night.
Outstanding as always, Tone. Well done as always. Also, is this San Francisco's last chance? They just signed Trent Williams yesterday. Is this their last chance over there with this group?
With this group, yeah. A lot of these guys, I could make an argument against that.
All right. Argue against it. Go.
Well, first,
I
want to
hear this.
The first day of Kyle Shanahan.
The great Kyle Shanahan. Okay.
Is he not that good?
No, he's great. This is being sarcastic.
I know.
You know how I feel about him personally, so there you go.
Maybe he's changed, Kenny.
No, he probably hasn't.
You haven't seen him in a long time.
Probably become worse. Success makes you worse.
Yeah, I wonder about that because the players, like I just heard Brock Purdy on a podcast talking about Kyle Shanahan and how... Brock Purdy's not in every locker room, and he's not studying the plays of every team in the NFL. But it is a reoccurring theme how the guys that play for Shanahan talk about how he breaks down football so that idiots could understand it.
If anybody on that roster is going to love Kyle Shanahan, though, it's going to be Brock Purdy.
It better be Brock Purdy.
I bet the guys who really worked immediately underneath Genghis Khan thought he was a really good guy, too, back in the day. But I bet there were a lot of people who didn't.
Success. Got him all wrong.
And while he was successful, I don't think that made him all of a sudden a cuddly, warm figure to the public. I don't know. I don't think that happened. Well, I think the more successful Genghis Khan became.
But you base your entire feeling on Kyle Shanahan when he was the offensive coordinator for a Cleveland team where they were forcing one quarterback down his throat when he knew he should be playing the other one. So you wonder how you would do in that scenario.
I would be nice to strangers who had nice stories to tell about my childhood. I would be nice to them about that.
The fact that there were people...
I don't care how bad my day is going.
There are people that hate your guts that have been a part of this show over the years. I mean, how do they talk about Ken Carmen behind the scenes?
Name four.
I don't know, how many stalemates are you in right now currently with people who've worked at the station or have been on the station?
Who? Name one.
One? Am I allowed to?
No, wait. No,
well,
you're not allowed to do that.
We have one that we don't name, but he writes about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. Not allowed to do that. Then that's where you have to stop. What am I doing?
All I'm getting at is Shanahan definitely has a way to connect to his players that I don't think other coaches do that even the ones that are considered savants or just on a different level of being able to educate the game. Like he clearly is able to do that in a way that others aren't. So they have that edge. I mean, Shanahan is absolutely an edge. The other part of it is you asked if the window is closed. Not if Brock Purdy ends up being really good. Now, I've certainly debated that. I've certainly gone the other way on that. But people are telling me that they see him, they saw big time improvement last year, and that was just year two, right? So this is year three.
Lima was so adamant about Brock Purdy, he was willing to do it in front of his own family. That says something. You're right. But does any of us see as big of a Brock Purdy fan as I am? I can't. Like Mahomes, you can see like, oh God, this guy's gonna be something. It's gonna be a different category with him. Allen, it took a minute. And even now, I he has his detractors. Joe Burrow has his detractors, but there was a lot of people who saw it. I think with Brock Purdy, it's almost like he was taken by the right franchise. If he's taken by the wrong franchise at that moment, we're probably not talking about Brock Purdy at all. He might be selling insurance for all we know, or he's an emergency quarterback somewhere. But that was also part of what goes against him. Like I've seen Brock Purdy with not the best game plans, and I've seen him struggle. I've seen him work with a guy who has really good game plans in Kyle Shanahan, and obviously we've seen him do very, very well. But I know that there's a hesitance over there to throw gobs of money at him. Right now they don't have to. Second of all is they don't know if it's going to be worth the investment. So I would say with this group, yes, this is the last gasp. They're going to have to shed salary eventually. But if Brock Purdy, like say there's injuries and Brock Purdy just separates himself amongst the rest, then no, their window is going to be open. It's going to be open for quite a while. And I think Kyle Shanahan, of all people, knows that. Well, I mean, good God.
Yeah, also...
Not that you're implying he doesn't, but he knows that.
Yeah, also, Bosa's 26, and you just look up and down their roster.
That's it?
Yeah, Fred Warner's 27. So if we're saying they're old,
It feels like we've been talking about those guys for 10
years.
I know.
So if we're saying they're old, I did see the Browns for starters. If you just look, I know you'll see some rankings on ages for the entire team. Well, that's kind of silly. You got to look at the starters, right?
Yeah.
The starters for the Browns, I think the Browns are one of the five oldest teams in the NFL if you go by starters. Are we saying the Browns window is closing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Closing?
Oh, I think that a lot of people feel that way. Am I wrong? I think that's why there's so many people who are pensive about this season. I think that you see the window right in front of your eyes and someone's about to slam it shut. That's why this is such a big year for Deshaun Watson. Like, we are at year what with Myles Garrett? 9? 8? Year 8? 7 with Denzel? We've done this a million times before.
And Myles is going to be 29 this year.
Joel Bitonio, I think, is year to year. Would anybody be surprised if he retired after this season?
Nope. I would not.
Wyatt Teller is a veteran. I mean, we've gone down the list here. Am I wrong? Does anybody feel that this is not a put up or shut up season for the Browns?
Well, that's why this is good. This is good that we talked about San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because I see people say, San Francisco, this is their window. This is it. Some people are starting to, with all their offseason tumult, that people are worried about them calling it the season from hell, potentially. I mean, the Browns, in many ways, are getting up there, too.
Yeah.
We just don't have the success that they do.
I mean,
so nobody's talking about the Browns. Like, if the Browns had just been to the Super Bowl last year and lost, and it had been the second time in 5 years or whatever, I think people would be saying, is this it for the Browns? Is this the last year of the window? But because the Browns didn't even have that success, to that level, nobody even really brings it up.
The 49ers and the Browns, they show you just how hard this is. And I think historically they do it. I can go back to Eddie DeBartolo's first years in San Francisco and speak about that. But I mean, his nephew Jed York and the first years that he had were really a mirror image of what his uncle had. And with Cleveland, you've seen the struggles that the Haslams had to try to build a franchise and then rebuild it and then rebuild it and then rebuild it and the mistakes that they had made and that they will openly admit to in trying to build it. And then you go to the 2016 season where you really tear it down to the studs. And here we are 8 years later, and we're still trying to figure out a way to break through past the divisional round. To see how hard this is, how important coaching is, how important organization is. And by the way, there's different ways to do it. Andrew Berry is a very powerful person in the Browns organization. I don't know how powerful John Lynch is. I have no idea. You hear things about what he does that are good, and then you hear things where he's... I mean, there have been people that make him out to be a puppet for Kyle Shanahan, which I think is kind of a disrespectful, wrong thing to say, but it's been bandied about that he is. So I think that there is different ways to be a successful franchise, but I think that they are two studies in, yeah, you get Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowls fall from the sky, greatness falls from the sky. Andy Reid was a good coach before Patrick Mahomes, but he makes Andy Reid look like a legend. And Andy Reid was probably a savant and a legend before all this. He needed the right quarterback to take him there. You can't make that your expectation. There are guys that are cut from a cloth that's different from the rest. Mahomes is one of those guys. But when you look at the 49ers and the Browns, that's the study. That's the study how difficult this is. The Browns have done everything they possibly could. They've made mistakes. They've corrected those mistakes. They've gotten to the divisional round. The 49ers, they've made some mistakes. They've had bad injury history. They've had to change quarterbacks themselves. They got to the Super Bowl twice and lost to the same guy.
And I do have, I'll tweet it out, but oldest starting groups in the NFL for the starters, Dolphins are number one, Browns are number two, followed by the Vikings, Saints, and Panthers. They're all clumped up, though. They're all very close together. Youngest, by the way, Owens, Kansas City Chiefs, number four.
Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Packers number one.
Must be nice. Congratulations on all your success over there.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.